1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, and I got to tell you, I'm happy to start the show on what could be a bright note, and we have been waiting for a long time for news like this. It seems like it's been a long time anyway. I know we have all been sitting around our radios and our televisions, and we have, I think tempers have flashed. I think emotions have been frayed. I think there have been probably some times we didn't think we'd get through this together, but we are very happy to be able to at least give you a glimmer of light here on this day. And let's mark the date, Mike. Today is the 10th of November, year 2000. It is roughly 6 minutes after 4 o'clock Pacific time. It is a little bit after 7 o'clock on the East Coast. Bob Bakian is going to bring us up to speed on this. And, Bob, give us the good news, okay?
Right, Phil. We are just over Barbara Streisand's home in Malibu, and we see a Deacon's moving van along with kitchen and wardrobe boxes out in the front lawn. She sent out some of her people from the household staff to pick up these boxes. Looked like she's going to be loading a wardrobe there. So it
does it appear to be a moving van?
It has beacons on the side. And I know that I'd seen a United moving van there earlier, but I guess she got a better rate or a better price from beacons. I probably offered to pack the house. I don't know at this point whether people inside actually packing their shoes and silverware. But as far as we can tell, there is a moving van. We do see a wardrobe box, kitchen box, and a box marked office supplies and recording studio equipment. So as far as we can tell right now, Barbara Streisand may be moving her home, and I don't know, but let's take a wild guess. It's out of the country someplace, so I'm driving up.
Okay, so we don't know if she's moving out of the country?
And it's down with guys in front, and I'm driving around the barn, and my face hurts. So that was it.
All right, you're breaking up a little bit, Bob.
Say it?
You're breaking up a little bit. Could you say that again?
Right, Barbara's down at Barn Barn, and Vaughn is in Pom Poms, and high school football.
All right, well, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Bob. Thank you. Morning live,
well, how about that, huh? So Bob Bakian giving us the word there that perhaps, just maybe, maybe, the long, dark, cold, black night is over, and there's a moving van in front of Barbara Streisand's home this afternoon. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Henry, starting the show off with a fairly predictable and cheesy bit. 1-800-449-8686. We could have had it in front of Robert Altman's house, but then most of you have never heard of him. And we do want to join today Brad Rifkin. Brad Rifkin is a professor of foreign studies. Let's get serious here, okay, because obviously the country's in a little bit of distress. Brad Rifkin is a professor of foreign studies at the University of Orange in Orlando, Florida. We do want to bring him on the line to talk about the situation vis-a-vis the vote count in Florida. The last I heard, Brad, was that we're at 362 votes, and that is a static count, if you will, until such time as the absentee ballots come in.
Well, Phil, I'm not sure about that. That is really not my forte, but that is my understanding.
Well, you have some view into this situation with regard to the Elian Gonzalez story, correct?
Well, I think it's difficult for me to remain favorably disposed toward the Cuban community in Miami because of what I think is their manipulation of the voter process.
Now, you have, as I said, you've brought, in your mind, you are bringing Elian Gonzalez somehow into this process, right?
That is true, Phil, and if you'll forgive me, I'm in my office this afternoon. We're doing a little bit of moving ourselves from one part of the one wing of the university to another.
That's all right. Tell us about the Elian Gonzalez connection to this Al Gore and ongoing Al Gore and George Bush story.
Well, it's my information that young Mr. Gonzalez, as young as he may be, had a code name of Barracuda. Elian Gonzalez, I think, was connected to some anti-Castro elements in the Cuban community, and the story, I don't think, has been told.
What do you mean, codename Barracuda? Are you saying that this boy, now again, this is a little boy, had some sort of covert espionage-style connection to anti-Castro Cubans?
I'm saying that Elian Gonzalez, I think it would be an interesting story, if I could just put it this way, if the Cuban community hatched a plot to steal the election for the Republicans.
Are you charging that, sir?
At this time, I would just like to lay my case out before I draw any conclusions.
All right.
The Cuban expatriate community, we now believe, contacted anti-Castro operatives in Cuba. Elian Gonzalez left Cuba with 10 other people sometime before Thanksgiving 1999. I find it interesting, and other people find it interesting, that he was the only one left, and that his
and subsequent trials and tribulations made the Democrats in off Washington look so unsure and hesitant and fumbling that the entire state would vote Republican. But the Cuban community's plan, I don't think, has been successful.
All right, let's back up. Elian Gonzalez leaves Cuba at the behest of anti-Castro Cubans.
Correct.
He's paid by them, I take it.
I believe he was in their employ, yes, sir.
All right. He somehow has these 10 or 12 people that he is on board this boat with assassinated.
I believe that he either had them assassinated. I think it's convenient. I don't want to say.
Are you charging him with assassinating his own mother?
I'm saying that I think it's interesting that he's the only one that was left. I think you can draw your own conclusions.
And he gets here to the United States. His predicament in the United States makes the Clinton administration look so bad that the Republicans would be voted into office, that they would look good in comparison.
That is my belief.
All right, now, that has not happened, obviously. I mean, there's still a vote, there's still a recount going on, so this plan to make the Democrats look so bad that it would be a shoo-in for George Bush hasn't happened.
Well, I think you've got a lot of very tough, older Jewish voters clinging to the Democratic heritage, and obviously they're causing a stink over the balloting, but I do think it's interesting that young Mr. Gonzalez may have assassinated 10 people at the behest of certain secret services, landed in America, and began the process of, I think, so befuddling that...
You realize what it is you're saying and how few people are going to buy that this little boy assassinated those people on that boat.
Well, I think that whether he did it himself or whether the anti-Castro Cubans that he was employed by did it, I don't know. But I am saying that it was the plan all along for him to get to America alone.
Alone without those people.
Without those people, yes, sir.
All right, we're talking here with Brad Rifkin. He is a professor of foreign studies at the University of Orange in Central Florida. He believes that we are at the point we are today with the election of a president because Elian Gonzalez came to America to make the Democrats look stupid and then get the Republicans voted in. First having to assassinate all the people that he was on the boat with, sink the boat, he gets here, Democrats look bad, Republicans get voted in, and the only thing that screwed their plan up, you're saying, are those tough old Jewish voters.
I think they're very tough, and they have clung tenaciously to the Democratic heritage. And
well, maybe the Democrats didn't look that bad in their eyes, grabbing this kid and sending him back to Cuba.
Well, I don't know. I think that story needs to be told, too. I think the time has come to say calmly and clearly, Phil, to the anti-Castro Cuban community, leave our electoral process alone.
Now, but it was the Democrats that got this guy, got this kid, and sent him back to his daddy. You're saying he doesn't have a daddy to go back to?
I will say that he could be in Cuba. We don't know that he's in Cuba.
What do you believe?
Well, we believe that he never returned to Cuba. We think that a fake, much like some of those dummies that are used in the diamond lanes of freeways here in the United States, was used on board that jet.
No, wait, okay. Now,
hold on, Phil, because I have a receipt in my hand right here for $49.97 for an alien lookalike diamond lane dummy that I believe they propped up in the window of that jet.
You are telling me that a Diamond Lane lookalike dummy that people used to fool the CHP was used in...
I believe it was in the jet, yes, sir.
How many people do you think... let me ask you something. You've told this story to... I know you were on CNN yesterday, and you told the story to MSNBC. Anybody buying this?
Mr. Henry, what I would like people to buy is the truth and the possibility that our electoral process has been hijacked by anti-Castro Cubans using what I believe is a very skilled midget. And I believe...
Are you telling me that's not a boy?
I don't think Elian Gonzalez is a boy at all, no, sir. I think he's a midget. I think that he is skilled. I think he's in the employ of the Cuban Secret Service. I think he assassinated his own mother and those other Cubans. And
well, if he's a midget, how old was that? His mom?
I think that was his mother. I think she's a lot older than she looked. And
what about the guy that came to America that was supposed to be his father?
I think that guy was in the employ of the Cuban Secret Service.
So this entire Elian Gonzalez story, hatched by the Cuban Secret Service in order to make the Democrats look bad, in order to get the Republicans in.
Hatched by the anti-Castros.
Not by Castro.
No, why would Castro? Anti-Castro Cubans want Republicans in. They are a fervently anti-communist group. They in their minds would be much tougher on a Castro government. No, this was hatched by anti-Castro Cubans.
You say you have a receipt for the purchase of a Elian Gonzalez look-alike Diamond Lane dummy.
That is correct, sir. I believe it was purchased from a place called Highway Novelties in Tallahassee, Florida. They make dummies that you can put in your car that look like famous people. They went out and purchased an Elian Gonzalez look-alike dummy. They propped that in the window of the jet. I believe that the news media in this country was fooled, as I believe most Americans were fooled into believing that boy was on a jet. I don't think he was on a jet. I believe he's still in the United States.
Is he a boy or is he a midget?
That is something that we obviously are working on. I believe that he's obviously a lot more mature than he looks.
All right. Brad Rifkin with us here, professor of foreign studies at the University of Orange in Central Florida. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And while we are trying to elect a president, he believes that the process has at least been in part manipulated by anti-Castro Cubans, hoping to make the Democrats look bad and thus be voted out of office. Elian Gonzalez is hired by anti-Castro Cubans to come to America and to put on this act of having been abandoned at sea. In point of fact, possibly he assassinated those people he was with, came to America, moved in with a bunch of, actors. And then, when we thought he had been taken out of the country and returned to his father, a Diamond Lane dummy that looks like him was propped up in the window of a jet so that it looks like he was... Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Speaking to us from the University of Orange in Orlando, Florida, is Brad Rifkin, a professor of foreign studies. And you're moving offices, so I understand it's a little busy where you are right now, professor. But you're saying that Elian Gonzalez could have been in the employ of anti-Castro Cubans to make Clinton look bad.
Well, I think it stands to reason. If you look at how badly the Democratic administration was embarrassed, how badly people criticized Janet Reno, how much the Clinton administration was criticized for the INS raid, all of that made the Clinton administration look so bad among the Cuban community that they could not possibly vote for him and would, in fact, vote for George Bush. The anti-Castro Cubans wanted to do that, and the anti-Castro Cubans, I think, succeeded. And
but you're saying a 10-year-old boy had his own mother killed and all these people on the boat killed.
They had to get rid of them before he made landfall. He had to get rid of them. Otherwise, they were going to talk. And that's what I'm saying. And
did he kill them himself?
I believe that anti-Castro Cubans provided him with some means of disposing with these people. I don't know what it is.
Some way that a little 10-year-old boy could kill 12 adults.
Correct.
What was it?
It could have been a spear gun. It could have been a gun.
A spear gun?
I don't, Mr. Henry, I don't know. I think it poison. I think it's easy to, if you know the technique, to break an individual's neck, it could be a lot of things.
So a 10-year-old boy, let's say, snapped the neck of 12 people.
I don't know. What I'm saying is, this doesn't make sense that the Cubans would vote for Bush unless they really hated Clinton, and that's why they did it. That's why his code name's Barracuda. Huh?
His code name is Barracuda.
I mean, X-Lax. When the others leaned over to do the do, he could have pushed them in the water. I think a lot of things could happen.
So he drowned them.
I believe he could have drowned them. I mean, I'm trying to come up with some answers. If you got any better ones, you let me know, okay?
Well, sir, I'm not the expert, and I'm not the professor of foreign studies here. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Cerritos on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Cerritos, hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, hello.
Go ahead, ma'am. What is your comment?
Okay, I just want to say that this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what Cuban's saying. He doesn't know about Elian. He doesn't know anything. The only
I happen to know that the anti-Castro Cubans want Bush. They don't want Clinton.
Of course.
They want Bush because they know that
Clinton was a piece of nothing.
That's right. And the reason why they said Clinton's a piece of nothing is because he messed up the Elian Gonzalez deal. And that was all planned to make him look bad.
No,
you thought Elian Gonzalez was a little boy on a boat from Cuba, right?
That's right.
Well, you're wrong.
I know because I have family over there in Miami.
You may have family, and they don't know any more than you know.
No,
he was a little boy planted.
Him.
He might have seen him, but he was planted to make Clinton look bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, so in other words, what they did is they planted a little boy so that the INS would raid and make Clinton look...
That's right.
No, let me ask you a question.
Are you going to like a little boy if he murders you? Yeah, you won't like him that good, will you?
A little boy would not murder anybody.
Is that right? We live in a country today where there are 8-year-olds blowing their own brother's brains out with guns.
Well,
don't you think
He wasn't 8 years old. He was 6 years old.
Oh, I see. So he can't do it then.
No, he can't do it because he didn't have anything to do it with. He had no weapons. He had nothing.
Ma'am, he could easily get rid of the weapon. I think you're very naive, and I think you're probably indicative of the Cuban community in Miami being tricked and fooled into voting for either it's a Democrat or a Republican or a Republican or a Democrat. You people really need to get a political center. And the reason why you can't get one is because you're being fooled around with this Elian Gonzalez midget.
This midget thing, man, I don't know about, okay? Maybe a kid, but a midget?
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with answers.
Well, the answers you're coming up with here is that a midget broke the neck of 10 people on this boat.
That's the one that I'm leaning toward, yeah.
1-800-449-8686, Tampa on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Tampa, hello. All right, here is San Diego on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Oops, sorry, hold on. San Diego.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
You know, maybe this gentleman should go think about creative writing because I'm frightened that this man is teaching.
I have information that other people don't have. Because you don't choose to believe it doesn't mean that it's not true.
Right, but just because you have information doesn't mean that's true either. I mean, think about all the conspiracies that were written in
Rather than tell me it's wrong, tell me why you think it's wrong, because I can tell you that the Elian Gonzalez story was the pivotal point which turned the Cubans against Clinton.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but, I mean, have you seen pictures of Elian Gonzalez? Have you seen photographs of him? That is a 6-year-old boy. That is not a midget.
I see. How do you know? Have you got kids?
I've been around a lot of kids in my life. I mean, how do we know anything?
Are you a teacher?
Are
you a teacher?
No, I'm not a teacher.
What do you mean you've been around a lot of kids?
I could be an alien. I mean, how do you know anything? That is a child.
I happen to know because I have information, because I network with the espionage circles of this country. And
you want us to believe that this is a midget?
I'm saying it's possible. Do you have the answer, Ms. Henry? Does this lady have the answer? Why would all these people turn against Clinton? They had to. And I will tell you that Hollywood does some amazing things with makeup. You know it. I know it. She laughs, and yet a 10-year-old boy or a midget murdered 10 people and threw them into the ocean. And she thinks that's funny.
Well, I do think
it's funny.
I think your imagination
Look,
is
man,
really
I,
wonderful.
You know, if a midget did it, I could understand a midget doing it. And I think he'd need a gun. But a 10-year-old boy or a 6-year-old boy, whatever the hell he was, snapping their neck.
You can do it with pressure points. It's
he'd
not a
like
difficult
a
thing to do.
He'd be like a bionic midget, I think. He would have to be bionic.
Oh, I see. Now, ha-ha. Isn't she funny?
She's getting the jollies off.
You getting your jollies off today? Is that what you're
Are
doing?
Are you getting your jollies off?
You getting a couple
off,
of jollies?
Kind of
you know something, lady?
It's insane.
You know, is it insane? Why is it insane? Look what's going on
Come
in Florida.
On. I'm not
Look
saying that conspiracies don't happen or that there aren't anti-casters who didn't want Clinton in the White House, but
Ma'am,
surely.
Look what's going on in Florida. An unprecedented electoral crisis. Look at it. Tie it together. Look at how Bush is suddenly popular in a state where he wasn't popular a year and a half ago. This has been manipulated by the anti-Castro Cubans with a midget who broke the necks.
Now, let's not forget that midget, that dummy, that Diamond Lane dummy that they propped up in the jet window.
Have you got any better answers? No, you don't, and neither does this lady in San Diego.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. 800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And on the line with me is Brad Rifkin. He is the professor of foreign studies at the University of Orange in Orlando, Florida. We're talking about a plot that you have, you know, something out of a Tom Clancy novel. I mean, you believe that this electoral crisis that we are in right now...
Let me help you out. Let me help your listeners out. All I'm saying is the anti-Castro Cuban community in Miami, which is very well connected with the certain paramilitary organizations and certain militia-style organizations, did not want to have Bill Clinton or Al Gore running this country anymore. They knew their best chance of mounting some kind of effective offensive against Castro's Cuba, either politically or militarily, was to get a Bush back in the White House. In order to do that, they had to embarrass.
No, I understand you're saying that they had to embarrass Clinton, so they hired either a midget or a six-year-old boy named Elian Gonzalez to pretend like he was floating to America. He murdered everybody on the boat with him. He pretends like his family takes him in. Was this family a part of the plot?
I believe they were.
So they were part of the plot. So the INS, Bill Clinton, Janet Reno, Al Gore, they all were looking stupid.
That's exactly right. They looked really stupid. And the next thing you know, they prop up a dummy on a jet. We think the kid's going to Cuba.
Now this dummy thing, what do you mean a Diamond Lane dummy?
There are at least four different companies in this country that make Diamond Lane dummies that you can prop up in your car and make the highway patrol or the state trooper think that you've got a carpool going when you don't. Now, some of these companies make celebrity lookalikes. There's one in Tallahassee that makes celebrity look. They made an Elian Gonzalez dummy that they propped up in the jet. The jet flies to Cuba.
And what about the kid getting off the plane in Cuba? Who was that?
I believe that was a lookalike.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, if they had a lookalike and...
Well, they couldn't use the lookalike on the ground because there were too many people up close with cameras, television, etc. So that kid was hiding on the jet. The one that...
So they used Elian Gonzalez, a dummy. Well, okay.
See, Mr. Henry, if you don't understand how it works, don't criticize it. That's all I'm saying. You don't understand how the espionage game is played. There are things going on in this country that are bigger than all of us, and I'm trying to let you and your listeners know, and the people that I've talked to over the last 2 weeks, both on CNN, MSNBC, and other networks, I'm letting people know that we've got something going on here that's really creepy.
I don't know what's creepier, man, the scenario, what you're saying, or the fact that a dummy, a Diamond Lane dummy, got by press on the ground in Washington. Here is St. Petersburg on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on with Brad Rifkin and Phil Henry. Yes.
Yes, I have a problem with this gentleman tremendously because he doesn't know what he's speaking about. The Cuban people treat their children with a little bit more respect.
Well,
than
that's very anecdotal. That's very anecdotal. It's also a very warm tale to tell at Christmas and Thanksgiving time, but that is not always the case.
Sir, have you ever been to Cuba?
Yes, I have. I was in Cuba with anti-Castro fighters. If you'd like to know when I was in Cuba, I will tell you that I was on the ground during the Bay of Pigs.
All right,
you were
sir,
in Cuba during the Bay of Pigs?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Well, sir,
and
you
I
know,
will tell you that this is a fight to the death.
Okay,
and
sir,
that,
I have
two
to
warring
inform
ideologies,
you that
all right?
The world changes,
two
life changes.
Two warring ideologies, and yes, they will use children if they have to.
I don't agree with you. I was
well,
in Cuba last
week. Have
you
ever been in... You were in Cuba at a casino or a nightclub or a hotel?
No, sir.
I was there in the thick of the anti...
Will you let this lady finish, please?
No, sir, I
want to hear what
nightclub.
She has to say.
I was interacting with people in Cuba. It was an international group of people.
And they bullcrapped you into believing that they're sweethearts. Is that what they did?
Sir,
I'm sure
I don't
they did.
Think... Sir, I don't appreciate your comments or your attitude or your behavior.
Tell me that I'm wrong. Tell me they didn't bullcrap you into thinking they're just wonderful people and they're real sweethearts and you just love the Cuban people.
No, sir, I didn't say that. I didn't say that I totally agreed with everything that was going on in their country. But I certainly respect the fact that they have differences.
How do you feel about a six-year-old boy killing his own mother?
Sir, I don't believe he killed his own mother.
How do you feel about it if it was a midget?
Sir, I don't believe it was a midget either. You are misguided.
I believe it was a midget trained to kill his own mother.
Midget, which means...
Well, sir, I can assure you that you can spend your entire life trying to convince a few people, and I'm sure that you'll have a few people that agree with you, but you're way off base.
Why, on the basis of your trip? On the basis of your trip to a new hotel in Havana?
What caused the embarrassment? What caused the embarrassment with the INS was the fact that they didn't follow their own rules.
But based upon your vacation in Cuba, you're telling me all of this.
Sir, it was not a vacation.
I see. What were you doing there?
I was attending different. No, I was attending different schools.
Oh, really?
We were interacting with school children.
Was your government aware of that?
Of course they were aware of it. I wouldn't have attended had I not been aware of it.
Are you sure? And let me ask you your connection to the Cuban government. Because you're
connection with the Cuban government.
Phil, I think what you have here is a typical American citizen who went over to Cuba, got wined and dined, had her rear end kissed up one side, down the next. Now she comes back. She
resent your behavior. I resent your attitude and your mouth. You need to learn how to speak to people
Tell me what I said was wrong. You went over to Cuba. They gave you some fried plantain and some of that orange chicken that they make. They took you to a commune.
No, they did not.
Can I ask
you
a question?
You see,
I don't want to offend you, but I have to ask you a question at this point. Were you an escort for any Oriental businessmen?
All right,
no,
that
I was
that is way overboard.
No, I'm asking
Were
you hired to escort Oriental businessmen?
You see, the reason I called is because
that's way over the... Yeah.
See, the reason I called is I don't normally call radio shows, but the reason I called is because you, sir, have no idea how to behave.
Ma'am, I am asking because we have information, Phil, that there are American women being hired at a fairly lucrative amount of money to escort, quote, Asian
Well, I could assure you that my family would not find that particular comment entertaining by any means.
Well,
and
I'm sure that they wouldn't find you escorting Oriental businessmen very entertaining either.
Wait a minute. Unless you have proof that that's what this lady was doing, you're now getting into some dangerous legal territory, okay? And
I'm willing to say that it's possible there are American women escorting Orientals.
Okay,
well, sir,
but that's...
I did not... sir, I have to tell you this, and time out. I did not see one Oriental, which was amusing, because I have traveled the world, and I was surprised that they didn't have Orientals. What I did see is a lot of German and other European tourists.
Have you been in the company of a Chinaman in the last 2 weeks?
No, sir, I have not. And I find your comment offensive.
Well, ma'am,
and obviously, this conversation.
This is absolutely outrageous.
Is not going anywhere.
I would just ask: have you been in the company of a Chinese or a Chinese Negro hybrid in the last?
This is absolutely outrageous,
sir. I think you're a racist and
ma'am,
very
I am
sick.
Not a racist. I am working in the employ of interests who are favorable to the United States government. I feel our government's being hijacked at this moment.
Sir, I think what you're working in the favor of is to try to cause turmoil.
We are under
chaos.
Attack. You understand we don't have a president elected yet. You understand that. And a six-year-old boy comes over and breaks the neck of 10 people, and you think all of
sir,
that's just...
Sir, when that
and
was
what are
done...
You doing?
Sir, first of all, we are in control. We do have a president. Our president
Absolutely.
Will not be sworn in until January 19th or a facsimile thereof.
Well, it would be
so
nice if
doing,
we could document your movement.
What you're doing,
movement.
Sir, is inciting a riot and
no,
causing
ma'am.
Problems.
All I'm saying is it would be nice
yes,
to be
are.
Able to document
you're
your in... movement, your movement over the last 3 weeks. I want to know, have you been with any Chinese or African hybrids?
Sir,
what do you mean
I
Chinese or
stated,
African?
Sir, I
yes.
clearly stated I have not.
Well, ma'am, you've been very...
And do not allow me to respond.
Do you
but
own
I'm going
kimonos?
To hang up now because I don't find speaking to you a very interchangeable conversational level.
Do you own
and
a kimono?
That concerns me.
Do you own a kimono?
Excuse me?
Yeah, there you go. See, there it is.
No,
all right,
sir,
thank
I don't
you.
Own a kimono.
Thank
and the
you
joke of it is I couldn't. They don't make them large enough for me. So, no, I don't own one.
All right, so in other words, you're fat and you wouldn't be escorting a man. All right, yeah, that's all you had to say.
No,
if I knew
that's
you were fat,
an insult, and, sir, that is a...
An insult? You said that
yes.
they don't make them large enough for you. Therefore,
no, they
you're
don't,
fat.
Because
therefore,
they make them for size two people.
No chingro is going to pay for your services. And
Wait, what is a chingro?
Sir,
right, go ahead
you're
laugh.
So laughable.
You know,
it's
I hate when women... I don't like it when women laugh at me, and I would ask you to not do that anymore.
Well, sir, I don't like it when people make snide, inappropriate
What is a chingro?
That is a Chinese-Negro hybrid.
Well... Sir, obviously you're
All
a
right.
racist, and I don't waste
Absolutely.
My time with
Thank you very much for your call, ma'am. Mr. Rifkin, right?
Yes, sir.
Let me say at this point that I believe you are insane, that I will not have you on my program.
Mr. Henry, our country is under attack.
No. You're insane, and I no longer want you on my program. Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Henry, our country is under attack.
Please hang up on him now, if you wouldn't mind. Craig Taylor, my engineer, please hang up. We'll be...
Mr. Henry, our country is under attack from a variety of forces.
Please hang up on this guy right now, Craig. Disconnect the line right now.
But you don't understand. Our country needs...
Will you get rid of the guy? Okay, this is the Phil Henry Show.
And another thing that I wanted to say...
Oh, thank God. 1-800-449... One 800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Boy, I'd love to give you a total on how many CDs we've sold up to this point and how much money we've made for my friend's place, those wonderful people that are a resource center for homeless and runaway kids out off the Hollywood freeway. But unfortunately, I didn't get my CD total or my money total for today. So the last thing that we had was from yesterday, close to $11,000 that we've raised in a little over the week that we've been selling our CD. And if you'd like to order the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD, you can call the following number, 877-616-7445. That's 877-616-PHIL. And it's $20, $350 shipping and handling, and the payment methods include Visa, MasterCard, or you can pay by way of personal check. The people are fast, they're courteous, they're professional. And again, as of yesterday, we had $11,000. Thank you very much, Camilla. I know that you work very hard. Mike called you, by the way, and you weren't home. Maybe you took off early for the weekend, which I wouldn't blame you. All right, I've been getting emails. I've been getting phone calls. I've been getting inundated. Mike has been taking calls all hour from people. Hey, Phil, you know what day it is, don't you? Hey, Phil, you know what day it is? Hey, Phil, this has been going on for 2 weeks. People bothering me and calling and emailing and calling my home and leaving notes in the mailbox in my house. You know what's coming up, Phil? Yes, I know it's the 25th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, okay? So here, are you happy? There you go. You happy? Here's your song. Day in, day out, night in, night out, week after week, month after week. Hey, the 25th anniversary of the record, the thing went down. Here's your song about the Edmund Fitzgerald.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down.
God!
They call Gitchagumi.
Give me a break. I know it sank.
The lake it is.
It sunk.
Gives up her dead when the sky.
Please leave me alone.
With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald.
You know, it sank in 1975, and it was still sunk in 1976. Last I checked, it's still sunk. It ain't coming up.
The gales of November.
But you guys bug me, and then I got to play the song, which Gordon Lightfoot, you know, is a great artist. But how many times have I heard this thing? Coming back from a mill in Wisconsin, they hit a storm.
Go, it was bigger than most. With a crew and good captain, well seasoned.
As freighters go, it was bigger than most. Well, that's great, Gordon. Thank you.
Terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland.
Great information, great backstory, whatever.
Bell rang. Could it be the north wind they've been feeling?
The guy's giving displacement. He's telling me how much iron ore they were carrying. They're on their way to Cleveland. Barometric pressure. They could have made for Whitefish Bay, but instead they decided to head on out to the central of the thing and the deal and the.
Broke over the railing.
Some guy's throwing up over the railing.
And every man knew. As the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing.
Fine. Great. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it happened, but it happened, okay? It sunk and it's staying sunk. Anyway, I remember when that song came out, I was in the wheelhouse of my album rock career as a disc jockey. You know, I just started. I was like a punk kid, you know, 23 years old, something like that. And out comes the song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And the thing was a big hit, and I had to play that thing every, like, 2 hours because it was in what we call in the radio business, in the disc jockey business, hot rotation, which means you play it every 2 hours, and it's 6 minutes of...
When supper time came,
okay.
Cook came on deck saying, fellas, it's too rough to feed you.
Fellas, it's too rough to feed you. So anyway, looking into the Globe Personals, how can you tell she's fat?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's Phil Hendry's fat warnings now. For this day, November 10th, 2000. November 10th, 2000. This is from the Globe Personals. Guys, when you're reading those personals, you got to know what that catchphrase is. You got to know what that secret word is. What is that individual phrase or word or collection of letters that will tip you off that maybe she's a little larger than you thought, a little larger than you'd like? Well, if you're on the Edmund Fitzgerald and she steps aboard and it goes down, you got yourself some... Okay, anyway. 25-year-old woman... College graduate, seeking non-smoking, drinking gentleman, 30 to 45 years of age, stable job, marriage-minded, similar interests to mine. What's the tip-off phrase that maybe she's carrying 30, 40 extra pounds? Marriage-minded and college graduate. You got it. What am I doing fat warnings to Edmund Fitzgerald? Here's one. Oriental lady, 65, likes the outdoors, quiet home life, would like to meet honest, non-drinker, smoker, active gentleman. What's the phrase that tips you off that she's big and fat? Oriental? No, loves the outdoors. The reason, because she can't fit inside. Bah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. All right, here's one here. Correctional Institute inmate. That right there ought to tell you fat. Now, why do we got to even go any further than that? Correctional Institute inmate. Sexy black female, 39 years old, desirable, soon to be released, seeking honest, sincere, well-rounded man, race age open. What's the fat phrase? Soon to be released. Anytime she throws in soon to be released, she's large. Water mansion, old Michigan. Filipina, marriage-minded woman, stable job, 48 years old, looking for similar interests, non-smoker, drinker, no drugs. What's the phrase there? Marriage-minded? No. The phrase there that tells you she's fat, Terry, stable job.
Takes in okay. What leg Gary can send her.
I don't know. Melissa's the one that underlined all this stuff. I don't know where she's going these days. She's a pretty German lady, age 46, was tired of busy career business life, moved to Montana, turned into a country girl, looking for white, marriage-minded country boy, farmer, rancher preferred. What's the fat girl phrase? Pretty German lady. Anybody, the pretty German lady phrase, that means fat. How do you like that? Boy, she doesn't hide much. Pretty German lady moving to Montana wants white man. Get it? Thank you. Sorry, I got to spell it out. All right, where else are we? How you doing, Gordon, man? Is the boat going down now?
In a musty old hall in Detroit.
Oh, it already sank. Okay.
In the Maritime Sailors Cathedral.
Attractive, intelligent, sweet, divorced white female, long red hair, green eyes, sweet as looking for a sweet, caring man, write soon for long detailed letter and photo. What's the fat phrase? You guessed it, long red hair. So there we go. Phil Hendry's fat warnings for today, the whatever the hell it is. Year 2000.
Superior, they said, never gives up.
Yeah, we got it.
When the gales of November come early.
25 years ago today. Mike Schaefer was born. 1-800-449-8686.